side. Don't leave me waiting too long. Please come by. Choice, I belong to your life, because I live to love you someday. You
Salvete, salvete omnis, fratres, sorores, felix dies solis. Greetings everyone, brothers, sisters, happy Sunday. This is your host Tonitrus, and you're listening to Dies Solis on speakfreeradio.com. It's great to be back, it's my second appearance in here. And I already see that we have a lot of people participating in the chat on Odyssey, and I would like to make a note for the listeners that in case if anyone would like to come in and say hi, you can find me on Odyssey. My handle name is Tonitrus, spelled with a V instead of a U, just because unfortunately that name was taken, so it would be Tonitrus. That would be the spelling. And as a matter of fact, I will need to do some shilling today for various medias, as I did not do anything of that in my first show, so I just would like to present the listeners to the possibilities where they can find some content and the ways that they could support potentially. And I would like to welcome everyone who is listening, everyone who is participating in the chat. Full Fingos, welcome brother. Giuseppe, nice to see you here, brother. And we have Carl Vinlanderson, welcome brother. Over time I'll get better with communicating with the listeners and those who appeared in the chat. So now, to make things clear, I know that a lot of people have very set opinion on the tunes, like the one that was played right on the beginning. It's not a coincidence that this tune was played. It's not just a random party music. It's the original long play of the Italian artist. I think that was in 1999, first appearing that single of his, L'amour toujours. That's obviously the song that was popularized in Europe, especially in Germany right now, to chant Ausländerhaus. And I see that Carl Vinlanderson already noticed that Ausländerhaus. I think it's This tune will stay in our hearts forever, despite the differences that we may have in regards to the musical tastes. This is a very heavy EDM tune, meaning electronic dance music. I know that a lot of people despise this kind of music. I myself am not necessarily the biggest fan of this kind of music. It's obviously not the most cultured music. But for the purpose of chanting for something that is actually catchy and stays in your head, I think it's perfect. And this tune has a history. It's already about 25 years old. And it originated in Italy. It's very European. It was extremely popular all across Europe. It was especially very big summer tune for just parties or wherever the summertime would start. This original or rather like the radio version of this song, the shorter one and just more maybe even faster in a faster beat, that particular piece was just associated with that summer time for having fun in Europe. And it's good to see that we are finally appropriating that popular culture and turning that into our cause and to use it for our propaganda, to spread those rightful sentiments with that catchiness of the popular culture. That's something that we should continue, and there should be more of that. If there would be more of those popular tunes turning into chants like that, I think it's better because we can already see that they are training, they are trying to ban that particular song, or even humbling of that song, on Oktoberfest in Germany. What are they going to do if we are going to appropriate a lot of those songs? Are they going to just start banning all the pop songs? Are they going to ban the original artists from performing those songs at their concerts? I think that this is a unintentionally a very great way of showing to the people how oppressive the system has become and how much tyranny they are implementing into our culture, how much control they want to have over it. And I think that the more they will push against the pop culture and against the catchy songs and just overall those insignificant things when it comes to the messaging itself, I think that the more people will be tired of overall oppression and will be more likely to see what's really going on and join our rightful sentiments. All right, so first of all, in the future, hopefully with the next upcoming radio show, the episode 3, I will try to coordinate all the ideas presented here on the show with the articles that I will post on my Substack. At least for now, I think Substack is the most reliable website for writing lengthy articles. Hopefully, I'm not going to be censored there. I have already created an account there, so in the future, expect me to post some articles in regards to the ideas that will be presented here. You can find me on Substack at Tonitrus, which is spelled in a normal fashion, Tonitrus. Also, for those who would be interested in finding overall my other social media or checking out my content, I have already mentioned my Odyssey. This is probably where I am the most active when it comes to the video content itself. And have in mind that I'm obviously very fresh in the scene, so don't expect a lot of content yet. I'm barely starting. It's also not the most ambitious. I'm slowly learning how to create it properly, how to make it more interesting, and how to be also well organized enough to produce it as much as I can in large quantities. Now, you can find my Twitter at Tonitrus Romanus. That's spelled Tonitrus Romanus. Tonitrus Romanus. That's probably the social media where I'm the most active. And I recommend our people to join Twitter, because I think this is one of those historical moments where we fought for the freedom of speech, and we forced those big corporations into submitting to the demand of our ideas to be presented in the broader scale. From my experience, obviously, Twitter by no means is a free speech platform. You can easily get in trouble for a lot of things that have no sense at all. I have myself been forced to delete some of my tweets. Also, I have problems with limited visibility in regards to some of my posts there. But comparatively to in the, comparing it to other platforms, as well as comparing it to Twitter from the past, from a year ago, or from the time when it it was under the administration of other people. I know that I think the first person was this guy Jack Dorsey, and then he stepped down and gave it to some Pajit. I know that during, especially during the reign of that Pajit, Twitter was absolutely insane. You could not post anything. So now under the Musk, even though he's definitely not our guy, let's not be fooled, Musk is just playing his role. He is forced to give us that illusion of freedom of speech there. And we should use it to benefit our ideas and to make connections. There is a lot of people with really healthy instincts, expressing a lot of interesting ideas, sharing their stories, sharing their views. You can easily join a lot of interesting Twitter spaces. That is a place where you chat with other people. And I think it's worthy to do so just to use that platform to make those connections and to, for now, broadly speaking, organize online, for the lack of a better place. Hopefully in the future we will have something better. Unfortunately, Gab at the moment is not the best place due to the recent changes in regards to limiting every free account, not allowing, if you're not, pretty much if you're not paying for the premium account on Gab, you're not allowed to post any files, you're not allowed even to post any pictures, any photos, no images, no video files. You can just type text and post purely text and respond, just post comments underneath of other people's posts. That's pretty much it. That's a big limitation. You cannot even share memes, pretty much. And also, there's a limitation when it comes to private messages. I know that if a person doesn't follow you or on Gab, you cannot message that person for free. You either have to pay for the message, or you just have to have that premium account, which is really ridiculous. It's just seems like a grift. I don't know that much about Andrew Torba, the person who is the owner of Gab, so I'm not trying to smear him. I'm not trying to attack the person. I really don't know the reasons why he made such a move. But regardless of the reasoning, it's really a bad move. And from what I have seen, Gab is right now very inactive. And that's precisely the reason why I'm not really shilling for my Gab account. Instead, I'm just promoting my Twitter. I think it's just overall better place. And at least I can share my videos there, share my pictures. Whereas in Gab, it's just, you know, sharing links. That's pretty much it. But in case if you would want to find me on Gab, and in case if you only have Gab account, then you can just find me by my regular name, Tonitrus, T-O-N-I-T-R-U-S. And for now, that's it. I have a lot of other medias. I have a YouTube account, I have Rumble, but just testing it out, see how much I can allow myself, how much I can talk there. So far, I have not been banned from any platform. I'm trying to be careful. I'm trying to be wise when it comes to the language, and I highly recommend everyone to do the same if you happen to be a content creator, or if you think about creating content. I don't think there's ever any need to be over the top with the excessive language. I don't think that there is a need to throw insults, to be perceived as attacking other people. It doesn't get us anywhere, and we really don't benefit from the fact that so many of our people are just being pushed deep into the underground and are not allowed to even have basic social media. So really, I please consider toning down your language. And that's not to say that toning down your ideas. That's completely, these are two completely different things. And I think that people have, in our movement, unfortunately, the problem differentiating between toning down their behavior, controlling their impulses, controlling themselves, and policing their language, policing their ideas, rather. Those are two completely different things. I never police my ideas. I never try to appease the mainstream. I never try to pretend that I'm not who I am, that I have some different views. I never try to excuse myself. I never try to deny things, even if those typical accusations flow, right? Oh, you're a Nazi. Oh, you're a racist. I just don't care. Those things shouldn't work anymore in modern times. I think that we are already way past this era of nonsense and being scared of those silly accusations and of those words designed to attack white people who have courage to stand up for their own people, right? Because that's pretty much what it boils down to. Racist, it means a white person who dares to care for their own people, and pretty much the same with a Nazi. So it's absolutely not to be afraid of being lumped into that group. It's not to be afraid of being categorized as someone evil by the system. If the demonic system views you as an evil person, if they view you as a problem, if they view you as public enemy number one, or public enemy just in general, then that means that you're doing something wrong. That means that you're probably moral if the demonic system calls you out, right? If the demonic system doesn't like you. So having that in mind, that's a completely different story when it comes to your own behavior, your own presentation, your demeanor, your language, the way you interact with other people. I highly advise everyone in our movement or everyone who is sympathetic to our views to present us with class, to control the language, to prove to the world that we are indeed different than the niggers, that we can control our impulses and not just scream at people and not get very triggered by someone or the fact that someone disagrees with us or that someone is representing other ideas, right? So I think that that's the main difference in here, that we want to represent ourselves and our people with dignity, with class. That does not mean that we are being scared of anything, that we are trying to appease the system or the mainstream morality. And oftentimes, as a matter of fact, I think that this is a very intentional play on the part of certain edgelords of the internet, people who just benefit off the edgy humor, and they try to gain their superiority by attacking people who are in disagreement with this kind of a language, with this kind of methods, and because that way they can always have this moral high ground that, oh well, as a matter of fact, I am here the courageous one because I say nigger all the time, right? Or I shout at people, or I'm not afraid of doing some things, offending some people, and I have been banned, you know, the most banned man on the internet, kind of like Andrew Tate presents himself. You know, it's a purely marketing scheme. Obviously, Tate is not anywhere near being the most banned man on the internet. He's all over the internet, and it's quite funny how the man who is all over internet, who is being pushed for that role of being the front runner of the rebellion against the Matrix, so-called, right? He claims that he is the most banned man on the internet. So pretty much the same phenomena is happening with some of the edgelords that are actually on our side, and that maybe they are genuinely representing our views. And but the problem is that this is not going to get us anywhere, this kind of behavior. And the more you're trying to gain this kind of negative attention, the more likelihood is that you're just not serious as a person. I think that the perfect exemplification are those two big streamers from the past. There was this one guy who was really big on initiating the whole blackface trend back in the days. I think that was like 4 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe. He became very infamous when people find out his content of dressing up in some pink skirts and just very questionable quality of of content, doing a lot of gay things. A lot of people truly hate him for that, precisely because here is the guy who claims to be on our side, who claims to be the so-called racist, right? But yet he engages in some outrageous faggotry on the internet. So I don't know what is the case exactly. I was never really interested in those dramas. I was never interested in researching those attention grabbers. You know, maybe the guy is genuine, maybe he was just misguided, maybe he was just doing some weird content just for the sake of weird strategy, maybe he was just trying to gain some popularity. It's really hard for me to say, but then we see a person like that teaming up with other person of pretty much similar quality, who was also very famous for doing those kind of this kind of edgy content, and now they're together playing games on those streaming platforms just to make money, right? Receiving a lot of donations. So I think that the question should arise: how genuine those people can be, and where does this get us? You know, that's good that they are able to make money. That's not a problem in itself. But are they really on our side? Do they really care about our people? Do they really care about our issues? There's high likelihood that probably not, right? Because they just look for opportunities to get that attention, to be talked about, to be very controversial. Because if you're controversial, then there's more likelihood that people will research you, that they will just look at your streams. And we always have to have this in mind, very important aspect of this oppressive system, right? That there's always going to be people who will just simply grift off the fact that there are certain things forbidden. They will do those forbidden things, but not for the good reasons, not to fight against them. Well, in a sense that not to fight against the fact that they are forbidden, not to fight for the right values. It's simply stemming from their survival instincts to make money, and detecting that opportunity for themselves to gain popularity, to gain audience, to gain that momentum, to be appealing to people and to generate income. So always, please always have that in mind when watching those edgy content creators. oftentimes those are not our guys at all. You will see time and time again that those people turn out to be very immoral people, that there's always some scandals being uncovered, that someone was actually meeting some underage girls, right? One of those streamers, and things like that, right? And I think that this is especially important for our morals, in the sense that if our people are putting their hopes in those particular individuals because they see them as the most courageous elements of our society, the people who are pushing the message, the overtone window, right? And they are making our views more acceptable. We have to remember that that may be the case, that while they are creating their own content and abusing the forbidden topics, inevitably they will do something positive, right? Like pushing the acceptance of our views. But the problem is here that if you rely on them, if you put a lot of hopes in creators like that, you will be trapped in this constant whirlpool of disappointment, because those people tend to be of a really low morals. And you will only see that the heroes that you yourself chose for our people, in a sense that you perceive them as the heroes of our race, of our people, of our cause, you will constantly see this environment particularly being exposed as immoral, as not genuine, and so on, right? And that just destroys your hope for humanity. It really does. You just constantly having your hopes being shattered, and there's constant disappointment. And eventually it's easy to come to the conclusion that, well, there's no hope left. There's no decent person left, because that hero that I thought is a hero, that person who is pushing our message so hard, who is so courageous, who gets in trouble with the system, who gets banned constantly, who maybe even gets raided, actually he turned out to be not a moral individual, not genuine. But that's the problem, that the problem began in the moment when you decided to put hopes in this particular person, as opposed to the overall movement. People who don't necessarily look for attention, rather they really care about the future, so they are more likely to go slow and be maybe more in the background, more in behind the scenes, doing some important things, but always being persistent, right? And being genuine about what they are doing. And if you put your hopes in people like that, people who have been in the movement for decades in certain situations, like, for instance, Dr. David Duke, right? He has been demonized by the system for decades, and he always preaches the same. We may disagree on certain details with Dr. David Duke, but regardless, he is definitely pushing the ideas out there. He is trying to educate the masses. He's trying to educate the people in regards to a lot of important issues that we're facing. And most importantly, he is exposing the Jews. He has always been exposing the Jews, according to my knowledge. So it's much healthier to have heroes like himself, because then you see that the guy is consistent. The system doesn't have any dirts on him, because they would use those dirts against him long time ago just to stop him, right? And if he is able to continue being in this underground environment and just pushing out the message, then that means that most likely there is no dirt on him, and most likely he is a moral person. So that's important thing that I think it connects really well with the morality itself, right? Because you cannot have healthy morality without anchoring it to the right isles. If you're not attached to the right islands, then you're always going to be floating with the wind that will push you in whatever direction the system wants you to end up, right? And that's something to always have in mind. I see that we have Walther Mauser joining us on Odyssey chat. Welcome, brother. Nice to see you. Pavlov Puppy. Hello, brother. Instead of saying, fuck you, nigger, try, go ask your father. Okay, that's a pretty interesting advice. Now, before I forget, I would also would like to shill for one other thing. Dave Gehary was so nice to add an option for donation for myself on his website. So if anyone would be interested in the future, you can go to moneytreepublishing.com. That's the Dave Gehary's website where he's selling all those interesting books. And if you click shop, you can find in the fourth row, there's Money Tree Publishing Donation, MTP. I think it's the only thing to purchase that is not a book. So if you click into that Money Tree Publishing Donation, then there's a list of all the creators here on the speakfreeradio.com. So you have all the names of all the people that are hosting their segment on this radio. And I was informed by Dave that my name has been added as well. So that's an option. To be honest with you, Dave Gehary beat me to donations. I have never created a donation for myself yet, so I'm really happy that now there is an option provided by him. And I think when it comes to money specifically, since we are on this topic, I think that it's not necessarily, it doesn't come naturally for our people to ask for money, most definitely not for myself. I just find it a little bit awkward situation to even half donations. I understand that it's a standard in the internet world, especially when it comes to the streamers and overall the content creators. And I actually thought about the moral aspect of it. I really don't like the fact that I'm gathering money from people who are our guys. I feel much better draining the system, getting the money from people who are either our enemies or who are just irresponsible with the money, or naive, or just overall draining the system. I feel zero shame when it comes to finding those kind of opportunities of draining the system, like, you know, applying for certain assistance with the food or whatever that would be, right? If there's such an option. Obviously, it's it's actually not that easy for a white person if you don't have refugee status, or if you don't if you're not a part of some minorities, so-called, right, oppressed minorities. It's not that easy. So you have to be creative in order to even try to just have some ways of getting something from the system. They make it obviously purposely very, very hard for white people to do so. And they only want to drain us from resources, right? And redistribute that to our natural enemies. And that's precisely why, just because I know that that's the case, I just don't really feel good about necessarily getting money from people who are our guys. But then at the same time, from a practical point of view, it is definitely nice to have more time and be more independent from the system. So instead of spending time to work for the system or work for people who are not our guys, have certain resources that would allow me to dedicate more time and energy into working for our people, right? And to create content that otherwise would not be appreciated by anyone. And that's a pretty difficult situation because obviously... we need to realize that the ultimate goal of this system is precisely that, to drain resources away from our people and into the people that would be hostile to our ideas, to our people, to our existence even, right? And now, this is something to have in mind every time you see people asking for money or for donations overall as a just general precaution. That is, someone has no problem asking constantly for money, you should question the motives of that person. Does he really care about our people? Or is that some sort of a grift, right? I think that should be a certain moral question that our people should start asking themselves before jumping on this wagon of... helping someone out just because they appear to be on our side, or they claim to, you know, be do things for us. It goes back to what I was saying right on the beginning with the streamers, right? People who are of a very questionable moral character and are viewing this activism as their business plan, right? And I think that it's something that is more important than people realize, because it's not at all about some money that potentially would go into the wrong hands. Obviously, it's in the big picture, that's not any significant issue. That even if you would waste a couple of hundreds on someone, you know, okay, well. Whatever, right? It happens. It's more of the principle, and it's just overall changing, revolutionizing that mindset that we have subverted by the so-called Christian morality for decades. That's not a new phenomena. That has been going on for centuries. So, as we know very well, Jews do not create. They subvert things. So whatever your stand is on Christianity itself, it doesn't matter. Because the ultimate fact is that religion is the most important part of any society, or at least one of the most important parts. Because it is a direct channel for the morality of people, right? So do you really think that if Jews have infiltrated our systems, our countries, for such a long time, do you really think that they would leave out religion, that they would not mess it up, that they would not subvert it? We know very well how big influences, Jewish influences, have been for centuries, right? We know that it's not a new thing. We can see all those Masonic lodges, all those Jewish bankers, all those conspiracies that came to life. We know how big of a political impact Jews have on our lives, on our countries. We know that it's not a matter of just one country or a couple of countries. It's all of them right now, unfortunately. Every single one of Aryan country is completely overtaken internally by the Jews. All the institutions, academia, politics, the justice system, schooling, entertainment, music, you name it. So do you really think that they would just leave out the religion? Of course not. And we can see clearly that it's accelerating, right? That the modern religion, this so-called Christianity, has become just yet another vessel of the so-called progressive views. They fly the faggot flags. They offer the faggots' weddings. They have no problem with interracial marriages. They have matriarchs in the churches marrying them with the niggers. They have no problems with that. They have all those soy boys marrying them with a passport horse from Asia. That has been going on for decades. No one was really saying anything. No one in church seemed to be bothered by this. No one sees this as a sin. So let's have in mind that there is a lot of things that are not as visually obvious. There are a lot of factors within the modern subverted morality that are deeply engraved in us, and we no longer even are aware of this, because it just, we have become so accustomed to that, right? So one of those things is precisely the thing that I was discussing, meaning the idea of help. Giving money to someone is not helping, especially when it is just a constant drainage of resources, right? If someone constantly begs for money, here the best example would be a drug addict, right? If you have a local drug addict in your town or in your village or whatever, your community, and you see him in some street corner or in front of the store constantly begging for money, you giving him money is not moral. It's actually quite the opposite, right? You're supporting his evil lifestyle. You're draining your own resources, the resources of a person that is reasonable, and therefore you would be able to spend those resources wisely, and you're giving it consciously into hands of someone that you know that will waste them, that will support the evil market, the cartels, the drug cartels, right? You're literally supporting drug cartels by giving money to someone, by quote-unquote helping someone poor on the street. So this is not morality. This is not virtuous by any means. And that's precisely why it is so important for us to finally become very eugenic in nature. To not be fooled by this notion of virtuousness, that oh well, you're doing something good because you're so caring and you're not even caring about your own interest, but you just care about others to the point that you're willing to dry your own resources and just give it all to someone else, right? And the same subverted morality, the same problems are unfortunately seen within movements like even like ours, that people are just keep falling for certain tricks and just, you know, are very trigger happy when it comes to spending money on someone that perhaps is even unknown, right? Some anonymous guy has a claim that, oh, you know, I need money, but trust me, you know, I'm your guy, you know, I said white power, so just give me your money, you know. It's just so easy for malicious actors to operate this way and to cause a lot of damage within our movement, right? And to just constantly be draining us from resources. So I think that people should have in mind something very important here, that it's the priority should be your own independence from the system. I think that you should, first of all, people should start prioritizing their own wealth. And so it's not about you having all the resources for yourself so you can just indulge in those vices, right? And just be cozy and keep buying overpriced coffees at Starbucks or $10 smoothies in big city, or just keep spending your money just so, you know, just for this meaningless consumerism. That's not moral either, because you're just not being wise about the resources. You're being very careless, and essentially you're not thinking about the future, right? About the future of yourself, your family, or your people. So the actual moral stand in regards to money is to be smart about your resources, to invest them. Think about how much better off our people would be if every single one of us would own a big piece of land, would be independent from the system. We would have certain properties, right? The land, certain metals, certain assets, a lot of guns, a lot of bullets. And I know that a lot of people have those things, and that's great. But I think that there should be more of that. And now think about this. If you have your own piece of land, how much more helpful you can be to your people if you actually can provide something, in the sense that, you know, now that you have, let's say, you have bought some really nice piece of land with a mountain view, right? Somewhere in just, let's say, you bought it in Wyoming, close to a resort, and you have a really nice view with the mountains. The mountain view, it's a really nice chunk of land. You have a really nice house with guest rooms. This is all yours. So, first of all, you have now something that serves your purpose to have a good quality of life, will be something that can be given to your children in the future, and then your grandchildren and so on. So a wealth that stays within the family. And also, you can be helpful for the movement by, for instance, using that piece of land and organize, for instance, a grill, right? An Aryan nationalist grill, for instance, and invite certain people that you trust or that you just feel like inviting. So that clearly shows that if you have resources, you always will be more, you will have more abilities to help others, and you will have more abilities to expand the wealth onto others. And I think that this is the only healthy mindset that we can have, and we should cut off this subverted moral nonsense that draining ourselves from resources is something moral just because you're being compassionate to others or whatever that would be. Now, obviously, it's a different story if you just want to reward someone for his hard work, right? Tip someone. It's kind of like, you know, tipping someone at the bar for giving you a proper service. So obviously, that doesn't mean that you have to be stingy. Absolutely not. But rewarding hard work. We are people of hard work. We are the creative force, and we need to start cherishing those qualities. hard work needs to be always rewarded, not the state of misery. We have to stop rewarding states of misery. We have to stop rewarding losers. We have to stop rewarding grifters. If we are not going to do that, we're never going to succeed, ever. That is one of the most important breakthroughs, spiritually speaking, morally speaking, and practically speaking. And I see that we have Camo777 in the chat. Greetings, brother. Nice to see you here. Thank you for posting the Dave Gaharia's website, moneytreepublishing.com. I appreciate that. And yes, indeed, Dave Gaharia rocks. I agree. Very intelligent individual. I had some couple of conversations with him. I was really positively surprised how well-versed he is. And also how genuine he seems to be about the whole movement, how invested he is emotionally and mentally. All right, it's the top of the hour. As a reminder, you're listening to Dies Solis at speakfreeradio.com. And I'm your host, Tony Trus. So we're already passing the 1 hour mark. Half of the show is done. And today I will try really hard to coordinate the ending of the stream with the ending of the radio show, so that way they are perfectly overlapped together. I think 2 hour mark actually is perfect. Going over that is a little bit draining and exhausting for me. Speaking for more than 2 hours is definitely taxing. So I will try to be better at coordinating those timestamps within the Speak Free Radio show. And we have some comments in here that we'll read. I have only ever paid taxes, never received any benefits or assistance once in 33 years of employment. Yeah, unfortunately, that's the case with most of the people. I'm on a very similar boat. However, a couple of times I have managed to receive certain minimal aid from the system just because I was trying really hard to abuse it, and obviously legally speaking. So I have managed to get certain benefits, but that was obviously just not really a lot. It helped me in a sense that I was able to not work as many hours, so that was actually pretty good. And I highly recommend anyone who was able to, for instance, in America, right, there's this program, Food Stamps, EBT. If your official income is below a certain mark, you can get some money on that card, depending on the state that you live and depending on how much you make, right? If you're completely unemployed, I think that you can get as much as $200-something per month on that card. You can only use it for groceries in most of the grocery stores, perhaps with the exception of some small, tiny businesses that would not accept that. But even the small businesses tend to accept that. That card is just so ubiquitous all across America. I have applied a couple of times for that just because I could, and I was glad to use the system and get some of that taxes back, right? Because obviously it's not really that you are given something. Rather, you're just getting back some of that money that they drain from you. So I definitely always recommend anyone to seek for ways that they can grade the system, and especially for those people who actually get in certain situation, like, you know, losing their job, right? I think there's no reason for you to feel ashamed or have some moral blockage from applying for those assistance. There's absolutely nothing immoral about it. As a matter of fact, it is moral to go against the system, to drain it, to sabotage it. So I highly recommend everyone to be a little bit more versed on the ways that you can use some of those benefits. If you can, then I think that that's just... It's always good when the money goes away from the system and into our people. Be an eager to the system, drain the pig. Yeah, very well said. Absolutely. We need to start doing it on a mass scale. And unfortunately, like we see on those charts, that who is actually sponsoring the system, it's always the whites, right? And then all the other non-whites are pretty much draining the system. So we need to be aware of that, you know. It's by design. If someone can take benefits, they should take them. All of my tax money goes to niggers. If one of our guys can take some, then my taxes are going to something beneficial. Otherwise, my taxes are just funding our enemy. Very well said, Camo. Very well said, brother. No, sorry, that's Full Fingos. That's the author of this message. Very well said, brother. And I see that we have one Odyssey coin donations from Full Fingos. Something I've run across recently in an increase in agents doing de-radicalization attempts through demoralization. I have my normal bully technique, but I need to spread my techniques. What would big brain approach to counter propagandize? Also, get it set up to take money. I'm not sure what do you mean by get it set up to take money. Do you refer to the Odyssey system? To be honest with you, I don't even know how it works. But I'll definitely try to check it out. I know that those Odyssey coins, they are pretty much useless. I don't even know what is the system all about. I have accumulated some certain amount of those coins, but I don't see any purpose of those coins. To be honest with you, Full Fingos, I don't necessarily understand that question with in regards to demoralization by the system. So, okay, and I see that there is such an option to set up the donations for actual money in Odyssey. I'll definitely check it out. I do appreciate for you letting me know about it. Like I said, I'm extremely inexperienced, and streaming is not my primary passion. I do it mostly just because I see the need for engaging in those activities, and just overall expanding that community of our people, right? Being very open about the views, representing them properly, and just spreading that positive energy and the proper energy of, you know, fighting for our people. So that's what truly motivates me, not necessarily the streaming in itself. I'm really not that much into technology either. Sitting in the front of a computer, I do it a lot just because so many things require the usage of computer. But ideally, we should think about the ways how we can limit this. Obviously, it's not healthy in the long run. And I always feel so much better just spending my time in fresh air and just relaxing somewhere in nature, or just overall being active outside. It's something that, as a matter of fact, I have not been doing that much as a kid, just because I have always lived in those really nasty large urban settings. So it was either, you know, you sit in front of a computer and try to entertain yourself on the computer. I'm already of that generation that was addicted to the computers. Pretty much all of my friends in childhood were already heavily invested in gaming and just... I remember that, you know, they would even make fun of you if you wouldn't have a good enough computer to handle some of those sophisticated games, some fly simulators. I know that there were some popular ones, a lot of nerds in my school that would just make fun of me because I didn't have a good computer and I wouldn't be able to play those games, and I was trying to find out if anyone plays the same video games as I do in my homes. In my home, I had some just old DOS games on my PC with a black and white monitor. There were just some platforming games, you know, very simple, but they were actually pretty interesting. They presented some interesting adventures. I thought that they were much more interesting than many of the other games, and especially the modern ones. There is something about the simplicity, that two-dimensional presentation of the game, right? The two-dimensional graphics, very simple, but yet it was just something appealing. So that was not cool enough for many of the kids. That was just pretty weird. Also, just gets to show you, right, that the nerds are, you know, they're not liked for a reason, because in real life they will obviously be very lacking and they will not be liked by most of the people. But the moment you're trying to give them a chance and befriend them, they will actually make fun of you because you're not nerdy enough to be one of them, right? At least that was my experience. And it's just really not a healthy spirit within them. They are just lost souls that are only invested in this alternative world and not really in the real world. And that's big part of the problem of modern times, that so many of our men who potentially, you know, could be interested in doing something positive and have this addictive personality that would could be very productive if they would get passionate about right things, like reading proper books, like representing our ideas, or just overall doing something positive, productive. They get stuck in that entertainment phase and just, you know, get very nerdy about collecting some toys or playing video games, and they just become pathetic. All right, so Full Fingos, he's clarifying his question from before: how to counter propaganda against ages attempting demoralization? That's a good question, actually. I think that that's a pretty common problem, this blackpilling thing, right? What is a good counter propaganda? I think it's this healthy spirituality, this positive mindset, and healthy energy within us. high motivation to do the right thing, right? And connect yourself with the proper people, with the people who not only share the same worldview, but also fill you with that positive energy, inspire you to do something positive, perhaps even, you know, preach the right things. And overall, people who are capable of having just that human level conversations, right, with others. I think that that's actually what's lacking. And as a matter of fact, that ties in very nicely to the subject that was just discussed before in regards to the nerds. Those nerds are lacking human skills. They are completely stuck in that virtual world of living in the bubble, right, and just being some sort of a warrior in a video game. And here, we are striving for a complete opposite. We are trying to be humans. We are trying to interact with others. We are trying to be very skillful when it comes to that social skills, but not social skills in that purely extrovert understanding of it, in that celebrity kind of a way, right? That, oh, well, you're very social because you have a lot of followers, or you're very social because you know how to grab attention and how to just impress the crowd or whatever. Rather, social in this healthy sense that you're capable of building unity among people, that you're capable of discussing very important matters while staying while not being too much in your face kind of a person, right? While not being too pushy on others. And I think that that's something a skill that is becoming a forgotten skill. That is that we are losing slowly. So in regards precisely to this attempts of demoralization, I think that we need to always have this strong conviction in our righteousness as well as in our destiny, that there is no way that we will lose as long as we will stick together, as long as we will have that fighter spirit within us. So the system tries to demoralize us for a reason, because they know that if they are not going to be successful in demoralizing us, they will lose. And that in itself should be a very moralizing thing for us, something that should motivate us to be the exact opposite of what the system wants us to be. Because if we are highly motivated, we are skillful at uniting ourselves and creating communities, and we actually manage to build that community, then there's nothing the system can do. Because they don't control our humanity, those human aspects, the way we think, the way we choose, who we choose to associate ourselves with. And I think that is exactly where our power stems from, and also the spirituality, right? One thing that will never be even possible with whatever technology the system would have is our spirituality, because our spirituality goes beyond any physical aspects of our being. We feel, spiritually speaking, that we belong to some higher power, right? That there is a power that connects us with our ancestors, with the ancestral wisdom, and with our bloodline, and with all the other brothers of this planet. So in that way, we have that strength that cannot be demoralized, ever. And that strength within us creates that proper energy that spreads like a fire onto other people, and makes us unstoppable. So I would say that the best counter reaction to this propaganda is healthy spirituality, that strong spiritual conviction that we are on the right side of the history and that we inevitably will win with the system, and that system will not survive. Those demonic values that the system represent have no place on this earth. Walther Mauser says that they are masters of spreading defeatism. Exactly, yeah. And I think that that's a problem here with a lot of our guys as well. Just because the more you look into all these conspiracy theories, the more you realize the political situation, right? How in much trouble we actually are, how much power the Jews have, you can become very black-pilled. And I think it's important to have that balance of, on one side, being capable of accepting the harsh reality, how much of all of the physical aspects of our system is overtaken by the Jews. But then on the other hand, you stay with those strong convictions and you know that we will win because the God is on our side and there is just no way of stopping us. As long as we will stay moral and always faithful and with those strong convictions. So I think that that's a perfect summary of this dilemma in here, right? And also on this topic, I would like to mention that I personally don't appreciate a lot of the vibe coming from content creators like Blackpilled. I appreciate informations that are being shared by those people, and it's obviously very important to have a lot of people who spread awareness of the dire situation that we're in, of all the trouble that the system is causing us. But what is next, right? Are you just you're just black-pilled? You just like to complain about things, and that's it. You'll never offer any solution. You just want to, stay in your cozy lifestyle, just playing video games or whatever you do, and complain about things and stay in this mindset that, well, there's nothing we can do, right? Because we don't have any power. So, well, it is what it is, you know, that's how it is. Well, Jews have all the power. Well, we may as well just kill ourselves, right? that's a good exemplification of how ill this black-pilled vibe is, right? And also, that's actually a really good example, because it seems like this person, black-pilled, he has promised his audience that on his second show that he will do, he will reveal his face, and he never followed through. So no one, till today, no one knows how he looks like. No one really knows his personality. And I think that that's also a problem, that we have so many people representing our ideas. And in this case, you know, the guy has an interesting radio voice. He definitely spreads a lot of awareness. He touches on a lot of interesting subjects. He is very, very well versed, very verbally skilled. But the problem is that he's not serious enough to go all the way there, right? To just show him face, to show himself. I just don't understand the reason why being in such a position and actually being one of very few people who managed to capitalize on this kind of content, and he probably doesn't have to really work or worry about this being dependent on the system because he receives a lot of donations, a lot of support. Why wouldn't he just show himself? Because that way, if he would, we would have a serious representative of our people, right? One of many that we should have. It's not to say that he should be the main one or anything like that, but we just need whole crowd of representatives of our views, right? Who proudly stand there with their representing with their face and just not being afraid of being, you know, attacked by the system. I think this in itself actually is very encouraging to people if they see someone who is not afraid, right? Because if you show your people that you're afraid, then that in itself is you know, morality of the fittism. It gives a bad example to people, right? That, oh, well, you know, here is this big guy and he very popular, he makes a lot of money, but he's afraid of showing his face. You know, it's not a wise thing to do, so maybe, you know, I should stay behind too, and maybe I'll just hide as well and, you know, not really expose myself too much. I think it's time for warriors who are just fully dedicated to the cause. And we should end this era of pure entertainment and having just consumers, right? So, too many of our people are in this unhealthy dynamic of content provider, someone who is just giving entertainment to our people, and then the consumers. So someone is putting out the content, and then there are some people who just listen to it after work for an hour, for instance, and just to feel a little bit better that, oh, there's someone who shares my views, someone who also thinks that we live in dystopian reality, that someone who is also infuriated by many of the things, and now I feel better about myself, so now I can just continue my cozy lifestyle, right? Go back to my 9-to-5 and just buy my donuts and just engage in this meaningless consumerism. That's the problem. And my show here is by no means designed for people to just cozily listen to that in a Sunday evening just so they can feel better about themselves, just so they can have some laughs and be ready for the next week of 9-to-5, right? And just being drained by the system, emotionally speaking and spiritually speaking and so on. So I think that that's the main problem, that we just have a lot of that. Too many of our men are just too comfortable, too cozy. He's evolved from the old black pill in the past couple of years. Yeah, I don't know that much about him. I just gave him as an example just from some of the little things that I have heard about him. Obviously, that by no means is any in-depth analysis of that particular person. But overall, that just... there was a lot of content coming from him that was just creating a lot of that black belt energy, right? That just informing people how bad things are and not offering any solutions and not giving any positive energy to counter that all that heavy load of the bad news. Check his latest schizo post from a few days ago. He's Hitler posting now. Okay, I'll check it out. Thanks for letting me know. And again, you know, I do believe that it's very believable to me that he's Hitler posting now. As fortunately enough, a lot of people have been awakened to that. historical event, and a lot of people are more open-minded in regards to the Hitler himself and National Socialism. I think that that's one of many important steps for our people to wake up, just because the history obviously served the Jews to always shame us, right? To always make us feel bad for supposed atrocities. And just it served as a base to shame us for being white. That's pretty much what it is. To shame us for being European, or to shame us for having a European origin. So deconstructing that is very essential, and I'm glad to see that a lot of people are finally waking up. And if Blackpilled is one of them, that's awesome. He has a really big platform. That's really good. However, I was just referring to overall that energy presented by him in the past. That there's just too much blackpilling and not enough of the whitepilling, not enough of motivation to do something and any solutions. Something that I will slowly try to talk about in depth in here. I present a lot of plans in a lot of in-depth analysis of how we go from here, right, and how we can organize. I think that that's something that is very important for our people to do. And also, as a matter of fact, I will quickly mention that me and Zach from Logos Revealed, who also has his own show here on Speak Free Radio, we have organized a space last night specifically designed for females within our movement. It was a pretty good success. We had a lot of interesting ladies joining the space and sharing their ideas, telling us how they found out about this whole movement. And I think that this is what is very much needed in the actual serious activism, to be open-minded, to be open for all different groups within our people, right? In the sense that we cannot just conclude that, oh, politics is not for women, period. I highly agree with that sentiment. I think that women have their own role, and it's definitely not politics. Politics is strictly masculine role. And I do believe that women should not be in politics. It's something that Jews have pushed them into so they can sabotage our system, right? Our way of living, our social structure, our families, to make women just less feminine and be more dependent on the system, right? To force them to work, pay taxes, and then vote and be in the politics, something that just is not natural for them, and it creates a lot of tensions between men and women. And therefore, we see those righteous sentiments that go against our woman, that, oh, well, you know, how can you complain about being attacked by some, you know, mob of some savages in your city if you voted for that? However, that's really not a smart strategy in the long run, because blaming women for a political situation that we're in is really ridiculous. They have just been used as a tool by the Jews, and we always have to go back to the source of the problems, of the ills that we're facing. Women are not the source at all. Women are just being strategically displaced and put in a position where they will make a lot of bad choices. The Jews are smart enough to know that the woman put in position of power, put in positions of armed forces and police in politics, they will just make bad choices. They are not designed to find themselves in those roles. So now our task is to destroy that order and bring it back to what it's supposed to be, right? And there's a lot of women who actually agree with that. The problem is that there's just not enough strong men who would be able to guide them, to that they would be able to feel secure expressing those views, or who will be able to just rely on, right? That they can just trust strong man with his opinions, and she doesn't have to really think about the politics. The problem is that there's so many faggots nowadays that women just feel like they are better off making the decisions for themselves. And they're not wrong in a way, you know? So I think that our men actually are more responsible for a lot of those problems than women are, even though women tend to just make a lot of decisions based on their emotions and vote for worse options. That's still, men are more responsible, just because they in a way, we allow our women, collectively speaking, we allow our women to be in politics, right? And we accept that, oh yeah, you know, woman voting was a big step in for humanity. No, that was not. That was absolutely not. That was a big step for the Jews to destroy our societies. However, very important thing in here, that does not mean that there is no place for women in our movement, because our movement is not just strictly political movement. It's a cultural movement. It's a very broad movement. It's a movement that is designed to create parallel society, to create alternative to the system, to make us independent from this Jewish system on every front possible. So obviously, if we want to create an alternative system, we need our woman, right? And we need our woman to be also organized, to have that feminine space, to feel safe, to know that they can rely on their man, that they will get that proper gentleman treatment, that they will not be faced with some weird childish behavior, immature behavior, or just overall creepy behavior, right, from the men within the movement. I think that that's always the worst fear of any woman entering any kind of a social circle. She does not want to be met with any of that. She does not want to be... Woman does not want to deal with a bullshit of a weak man or just a weird man. And I think that creating those kind of spaces for women where they can feel safe and where they can rely on certain leadership of men who will organize it for them is a big step for our movement. And women also need to have those spaces in order to talk about a lot of feminine things, right? Their own role. You know, as silly as that may sound, but even things like cooking tips, right? Gardening tips, building community, building that high trust society, and therefore also building that segment of the feminine population where they trust each other, and therefore instead of relying on the system and paying for some Mexican nanny to take care of the white children, they can just do it among themselves, because if they have a trusted friend or there's a trusted woman within the movement, one designated woman can just take care of the kids, right? And that way, everything stays within our people. We don't have to rely on external resources. We don't have to rely on the system. And we don't have to outsource the most important role for our people, which is taking care of our children. Very important thing. So I urge everyone to not underestimate the role of woman, because the role of woman in our lives, in our system, is tremendous. It's absolutely irreplaceable. Obviously, there is no future without woman and man. We need to coexist together. And also, it's so important to give that proper example and have that healthy dynamic within our movement that, okay, there are women, there's a feminine sector, there's a sector of women within our movement, and there are men who know how to interact with them, right? But they just are designated to their own feminine role, and they are not pushed on the streets to scream the slogans for us, for instance, right? Something that is a very typical of the Jewish system, that they like to push our women on the streets so they can serve them as this marketing tool, as the labor for screaming the slogans, right? That, oh, we women deserve this or that, or we women demand this and that. So that's a typical Jewish tactic, to use our women against our society, essentially use women against their own selves. Because if a woman is going against their own man, then she's going against her own future, against her own people, like against her own interest. And I think that this is also very important, because then on the other hand, such a healthy feminine energy makes our movement more complete, and we can create those parallel societies with authenticity and completeness, right? It's not just man with this high testosterone energy that then need to seek out women and fish them out and just have them for themselves, and they are non-existent in any form of a public sphere. I think that that's just not healthy, and it also creates a lot of problems in finding those females, right? Because if a female just has to rely on a guy itself, and there is no feminine community that she can use for herself, right? That she can feel safe there, that she can find some like-minded friends, female friends, then it makes it harder for our people, for our guys, for our men, to find a proper partner. So that's also a very important thing to consider. And now, this is one of those many things that me and Zach are doing in order to finally build the authentic community and this space. Have proven us that there is indeed a lot of women who are out there and who share the similar sentiments and similar views to us, and are very interested in joining the forces and finding the proper community, right, to be part of. Something that we need to appreciate. Obviously, we are not gay like some other parts of our movement to hate on our women and to not want them around us. I think that's ridiculous. I think that it just gives out a really bad example out there. And that's something that we are trying to change, and we are trying to make it a new trend. So we have named this we have created a whole space for this woman called Aryan Woman Assembly, with the acronym AWA, AWA. I think it sounds very great, and this is something that we will slowly be working on, collectivizing our women and collecting the feminine, healthy feminine energy, right? Where females can be females again and not have to worry about being attacked or you know, like some of those groypers who just make those nasty rape jokes and pretty much let them know that, oh, they don't need women, you know, and they shouldn't be anywhere near our movement. I think that that's very unhealthy, and we need to change that trajectory. We need to finally make it wholesome and complete. Patrick Fitzgerald, we're looking at you, creep. LOL. I'm not sure who that is. And Walther, I'm glad that you have joined that space last night, or you have listened to it. Walther is just expressing that the X Space show last night was interesting. I'm glad to hear that. We will be hosting that space next weekend, the same day, I think the same time as well, Saturday. Next Saturday, we'll be hosting another space, and we'll try to have even more females. Although we had a lot of females. The only problem was that it was a little bit derailed by some of the non-Aryan females. I know that there were this one Middle Eastern woman who was a little bit hostile. And, well, actually, there are two Middle Eastern women at two different points of the space. And that's always a problem that is just sometimes hard to know what kind of views a female represents, right? And how she will act exactly. So we'll try to be better in excluding some of those hostile elements. But it wasn't such a big of an issue. It was just... gets to show, right, that there's always a lot of hostile people the moment that white people are trying to organize, then there's just a lot of pushback. So it's a pretty common occurrence nowadays. They just don't want you to do that. All right, so we are 15 minutes away from the ending of our show. So last thing that I wanted to touch on is the latest interview with Thomas Rousseau. That was on this big podcast. I don't remember his name. PBD, I think, podcast. Patrick Butte David. That's his name. He's some sort of a big YouTuber. To be honest with you, I had no idea about his existence until this interview. I have watched the whole interview. I was just very interested in seeing how Thomas Rousseau conducts himself, how he represents the ideas, what kind of ideas actually he represents, because to be honest with you, I don't actually know him that well. I don't know if he's truly our guy or not. He seems to be pretty decent. And I was actually overall pleased with the way he conducted himself. I think that that's a very big proof in here to a proof that optics do matter, that the way you conduct yourself really matters. I don't think a big YouTuber like this guy, Patrick Butte David, would ever invite someone who does a lot of controversial things, that just goes out of his way to be an edgelord on the internet. And more so if he would know that the moment he would invite this person to interview him, that person would not conduct himself properly, right? And he would just get him in trouble by screaming some obscenities or things that are not allowed on YouTube. So it goes even beyond just the mere liking of that YouTuber itself. You know, he may even be okay with using certain words, but then on the other hand, YouTube is very strict when it comes to the language. So it should prove to our people that it's fine if you're... we should not be afraid of using certain words. It's ridiculous to be afraid of using certain words. It's pathetic. But now, having the ability to control yourself and to play the game, at least for the sake of presenting our views and to represent us correctly, I think that that's something that is very much needed. Do you really value more the mere word that you would say that, oh, you know, you value saying nigger so much that you prefer a person to say nigger over and over again rather than actually being able to conduct a whole interview for people to see out there and to spread our views, right? I think that that's a really important question to ask yourself. I'm really glad to see that overall the Aryan nationalism is getting more acceptance. I've looked at the comments underneath of that that interview. Surprisingly enough, I was positively surprised that pretty much all of them that I have seen, they were all positive. They were all expressing the need of white people uniting, of fighting for our interests, and just bashing the host for demonizing the mere idea, right, of having that white unity and white nationalism itself. So that's something that should give us a lot of hopes for the future, especially for the near future, that it clearly shows that the times are changing, and people shaming us for being the so-called white supremacist or being a Nazi or a racist, it's not working anymore. It's not going to work. It's a ridiculous accusation, and all those people who have been so afraid of being accused of such, most of them have ended up very badly, right? Like this German police officer, right, who instead of tackling the Muslim terrorist with the knife, he tackled the white German who had balls to do something and stop that Muslim attacker. And he got stabbed, that police officer got stabbed while he was tackling down his own brother, his German brother, while he exposed his back to that Muslim. He got attacked and he got stabbed, and today was the news that he passed away. And that's how people who are afraid of being accused of being racist end up. They just are not strong enough to survive in the modern reality. That's natural selection. So more and more people realize that, and more of those people who have been weak and afraid are disappearing from our society. And while in one way or the other, that was just an extreme example of the Germany, what happened in Germany. But there are obviously instances of people just not being able to maintain their position, right? They're just withdrawing, race mixing, and so on. So all those people are just disappearing. The weak elements are disappearing from our tribe. And we are left with the strong ones, the ones that were capable of not giving up. And now, with such a changed demographics, such a changed shape of our own tribe, we are now becoming stronger to resist all those attacks, and they're just not going to work for us anymore. And mark my words that in a couple of years, people will be ashamed of using those slurs, or they will just quickly learn that they just do not work at all, whatsoever. I have been accused many times that, oh, I'm some sort of a white supremo or a Nazi racist and so on. I never gave a shit. Never worked for me. And people never really could do anything about it because they saw that it doesn't work. So I just eliminated the only weapon that they had. The only weapon that they have is just those meaningless accusations. And the moment that they see that it just doesn't do anything, right? You're completely immune to that. They are completely powerless. And I think that that's something to be very hopeful about, but also just to be very proud of ourselves as a collective, as people, that we actually, as a matter of fact, despite such an overwhelming system being against us with all this institutional power, we have withstood all those attacks, smear campaigns, and everything else. We have never given up our instincts. We have never given up our morality, our sense of righteousness, and our love for our people. And we'll never give it up. And that's how we will win. That's how we'll survive. That's how we will go into the future. And that's how we will defeat this demonic system. And on this positive note, I would like to conclude the stream and the radio show. It was a pleasure talking, as always. I'll see you next week on speakfreeradio.com. It's always on 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Sundays. And once again, it was Dies Solis. And my name is Tonitrus. I'm your host. And to end the stream, I will play once again this wonderful music by an Italian artist, Gigi D'Agostino. That's the same tune that is now being used in Germany to chant Ausländer raus. Have a great evening, everyone.
Don't care what you've done in your life, baby. I'll always be here by your side. Don't leave me waiting too long. Please come by. I still believe in your eyes. There is no choice. I belong to your life.